our listeners a little bit of background about Ellie while the studio gets her on the line.
Yes, she's a member of the Virginia chapter of Citizens Climate Roll Hobby, and a tremendous, tremendous writer, and sort of the Mid-Atlantic hero of the group, and has been tireless in her efforts to lobby her local member of Congress, who happens to be Congressman Eric Cantor, in terms of the benefits of putting a fee on carbon and starting to continue the transition, shall we say, not starting, but continuing the transition towards clean energy. She's just a brilliant woman, and I admire her so much.
And she's, I've gotten to know her just, you know, over the email climate group going back and forth. She always ends her, you know, messages with love, and she's all about love, and I like that approach because really that is when it comes down to it, that's what this is about, our love for our communities, our country, our kids, our grandkids, you know, future generations, born and unborn. It's really... You know, how do we love our... William McDonough once had a comment about that, a quote about that, I should say, and that was something like, in the end, it comes down to how do we love our kids, country, and planet. I think that's where I got that. So give credit where credit is due. The original green architect, he doesn't like to be called the father of green architecture, so Bill McDonough, of course, is a great in the movement, and that's really, I think, you know, really what it comes down to.
Absolutely. It's... thinking long-term versus thinking short-term. There's so much unfortunate short-term thinking, especially in our political climate. And for people to have the foresight to think about, you know, not just today, but tomorrow and the day after tomorrow, not a pun based on the movie, but legitimately thinking about the day after tomorrow is so important.
Okay, we do have Eleanor Sparks on the line now. Hey, Ellie, welcome to the Green Front.
Hello, how are you?
Glad to have you on for the last 15 minutes of the show or so, and the first show of 2013. I thought we'd start off on an upbeat, positive note, and you are always so upbeat. We were just saying while the studio was getting you on that you always talk about loving them to pieces, even if it's the enemy or the opposition, I should say, and maybe love will conquer all. At least let's start off on a positive note. You do incredible work with Citizens Climate Lobby, with Virginia. You are always writing letters to the editor, encouraging all of us to do the same. How optimistic are you, Ellie, at the dawn of this new year that this will be the year we finally get serious about tackling climate change, beginning with our president?
Well, I think this is a good year for this. You know, I have a little boy, Peter, who is 11 years old, and he knows about the work that I'm doing as a volunteer with Citizens Climate Lobby, and he tells me all the time he believes. He says, Mom, I know you can figure this out. And sometimes I think, oh, that's just a wonderful little naive thing for an 11-year-old to say, but then I realize, you know, it really is up to us to figure this out. And it is our government and it is our country who must lead, and we are the ones who get to ask that of ourselves and of our leaders. And so I'm excited about this year and ready to, you know, see the momentum really pick up with Citizens Climate Lobby and other groups who are working to call on our leaders to lead on climate solutions.
Ellie, it's so great to talk to you. I mentioned it in the introduction, your discussions with members of Congressman Cantor's office, and the interesting thing about that is that I saw this morning that Cantor voted against the fiscal cliff measure, and you know, unfortunately, I did get up on the cynical side of the bed this morning, and I thought to myself, you know, how is he going to take action on the climate cliff if he's unwilling to take action on the fiscal cliff? And obviously, not being from Virginia or never having met the guy, what's your impression of him and his office? And do you think that, you know, he can go where so many Republicans seemingly refuse to in terms of taking a leadership role in this issue?
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, a lot of people think that I'm crazy for making an effort here with his office. And in fact, when we've met four times now with his legislative director, who is just a lovely gentleman and has met with us, we schedule a 45-minute meeting. He won't let us leave until we've been there an hour and 15 minutes. He's learning so much about the issue from us, and we've brought scientists and shared our research on the economic side, and he's been lovely. We haven't had a chance yet to talk to Congressman Cantor, but we are on the list right now for meeting with him. And I have learned in my life that my job is to ask for what I want and to let go of the outcome. And what Congressman Cantor will do or will not do is up to him, and it is between him and his maker. My job is to present the information, to make the request, to paint the picture of the future that I want. His job is to act or to not act, and I really cannot control that, but I certainly can be someone who can share the information with him. I can't imagine that anyone is sharing this information with him or his office. There's no one else who has spent as long a time as we have as Citizens Climate Lobby volunteers meeting with his legislative director.
Well, since you mentioned he and his maker, he is Jewish, and if you do get a chance to speak to Congressman Cantor, remind him of something we are required to conduct or perform to observe as Jews, and that is Tikkun Olam, and that is healing of the world. So healing of the planet certainly, you know, comes in there, and I'm sure he does have children and perhaps grandchildren, and perhaps you can appeal to him, you know, from that point of view, from a spiritual or religious point of view, if nothing else.
That's right. And, you know, Judy, at our first meeting with his legislative director, one of our volunteers, Fred Geiger, makes homemade challah bread, and he brought two loaves, one for the congressman and one for Mike, for the legislative director. So
hold out an olive branch and a loaf of challah. Couldn't hurt. Couldn't wait.
So exactly.
You also write children's books. Tell us about that. I believe focused on climate change.
Yes. Well, you know, it's not my profession, although I was trained as a in fine arts in painting and printmaking. And two summers ago, after I had started my work with Citizens Climate Lobby as a volunteer, I, you know, hit the hot summertime climate change blues when the weather is just getting hotter and hotter and it's driving me crazy. And one day I sat down and wrote myself a story and to help keep me focused on what I wanted. And I've heard other folks say, you know, we've got to write this.
Oh, no. Do we
what
lose
we don't
Ellie?
Want. Oh, no. Can you hear me?
Yeah, just start that last
can
thought
you hear
again.
Me?
Yeah, now
oh,
we can.
Hello?
Yes. Go ahead.
Okay. Sorry. So what we want, you know, people have been talking about rewriting stories that help us paint the future that we want, the picture of the future that we want. So that summer I was feeling terrible about the hot weather and overwhelmed, and I sat down and I wrote a story, and I wanted it to be a little bit realistic that yes, we're going to go through this hard time. Even if we stop right now putting carbon dioxide in the atmosphere, it's going to be rough for a while. So my story is written two generations out, reflecting back on the hard time that we went through with the climate and then the changes that people had to make and how that happened. It's a father talking to a daughter who was named in honor of her grandmother who did this hard work. And so I was writing as if it was my son telling a story to my granddaughter and celebrating the work that I did. And I certainly, when I read it, I want anyone to insert their own name, any one of us working on climate solutions to insert their name, because we are working, like you said, Judy, for our children and our grandchildren. And the problem is here now. So that was one book that I wrote. And then the other one I wrote was just recently, I don't know if anyone has ever heard the book, If You Give a Mouse a Cookie, a cute little story about what happens if you give a little mouse a cookie, then he wants a glass of milk, and if he wants a glass of milk, then he wants a straw, and it just sort of goes on and on from there. And the story that I wrote was, if you ask your congressman to be a climate hero. And it paints a picture. What do you need to do as the congressman awakens to his calling or her calling to become a climate hero? What support do you as a citizens lobby person need to give that? You need to write letters to the editor. You need to help connect that congressman and his staff to someone from the other party willing to also work on a bill like that. And so both of those kind of give me a little energy, and I wrote them for myself, but I share them with other folks who are working on climate solutions and hope that someday a publisher will come along and help me print it, because I would love to print it and use it as a fundraiser for Citizens Climate Lobby.
Absolutely. Well, you might want to try Disney. They do they do children's books, and we just had Rainforest Action Network on talking about how they are no longer going to be publishing children's books on paper from forests that are endangered. That was a big RAN win, sort of kidding. But your concept sounds so cute and clever and important and creative that surely these manuscripts will turn into books.
Oh, thank you.
maybe this will be the year. We just have a couple minutes left. DR, you've known Ellie for some time. Anything else you'd like to ask her that our listeners might want to know about?
I was going to suggest that, you know, when she described the title of the book, if you give a mouse a cookie, I was going to suggest another title, if you give a denier a swift kick, but I don't think that would be necessary to protect the sort of warm and loving and fuzzy image. Ellie, it's the same thing we discussed with Peter from the American Wind Energy Association. Do you think that you will see signs beyond what President Obama said last night, that he's going to step his game up on this and show the leadership that needs to be shown on this issue? Obviously, as Bill McKibben has indicated, that a true test of his courage will be what decision he makes on the Keystone XL pipeline. And I've mentioned before the BuzzFeed.com report from over the weekend suggesting that Lisa Jackson left as EPA administrator because of a concern that Obama may greenlight it, and she would have to defend it. What decision do you think Obama will make, and do you think that this is the year he'll step up on this?
I would love for this to be the year that he really gathers some courage and becomes a climate hero for us on this. I certainly can't predict what he is doing with the 350 Do the Math, Divest campaign, the work that they've been doing on the Keystone pipeline, drawing attention to that. It's exciting to see so many points of action on climate change, climate solutions, and it will be interesting to see what happens. And people are ready to people are in the streets on this issue, and I think that's an important piece of the movement is the protesting that people are doing in the streets. So we'll see what he does, but there will be people ready to draw attention to the problem if he doesn't. And there will be people ready to celebrate when he does decide to lead on this.
And our program is drawing to a close. We are out of time. Ellie Sparks, I want to thank you for igniting so many sparks in all the right places. And continued good luck doing that in the new year.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me on.
And thanks, Sarah Tucker, for joining me for this edition of The Green Front. If you missed part of our show, you can find the archives at prn.fm or at thegreenfront.com. See you next time. In the meantime, have a great green week.